Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm your voice of confidence, and let's start our business.
Well, I'm self-doubt, and I don't think so.
Come on. With LegalZoom, it's just a few steps.
Fine. I'm in.
LegalZoom. Now you're in business.
LegalZoom is not a law firm or a substitute for an attorney.
Bittrex is a cryptocurrency exchange empowering traders to feed their curiosity. With more than 100 tokens and unparalleled security, Bittrex offers a platform for next big thing discoverers to dive in. Get ready to trade beyond the trend. Discover more at BITTREX.com. Trading involves significant risk of loss and is not suitable for all individuals. Carefully consider your level of experience and risk before trading.
Welcome to Savvy Business, Life Unscripted with your host, Christina Rivera, where our guests share their wisdom and valuable business tips, empowering our audience to expand their personal potential.
Hello, Dr. Jan Bonhoeffer. Did I say your name right?
Thank you, Christina. Jan Bonhoeffer is my name.
I love it. Where are you from, actually, exactly?
I'm born in Germany and live in Switzerland. And my mother is from Switzerland. My father is from Berlin in Germany. So.
Yeah. Well, you're a doctor really helping people out there, but not just with their body, their mind, body, and spirit. What brought you to the whole world of medicine in particular?
This has been a long journey for me, starting in childhood, in early childhood, when I saw, I remember that moment, it's kind of strange things in childhood. Huh? I saw my mother has had all these little documents about her life, you know, and there was this folder. And in this folder, I saw a certificate, a first aid certificate. I was like, Mommy, what is this? I said, oh, this is a first aid. So tell me more. And this is really how it started. Then I became a paramedic, and then I went to medical school, and this is how it all evolved.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember as a kid, now it did not evolve for me that I wanted to become a doctor. But I think kids get intrigued by things that is their natural curiosity and things that are probably their life purpose. You remember, as a kid, you would maybe pretend to be doctor or go pretend to be a model. And then later on, you're pulled in those certain directions. So now you became a doctor and you realize that there were certain things missing in the medical community. Doctors are stressed out of their mind. There's a big suicide rate with doctors even because of the stress that they have to go through being a doctor, helping patients. And you wrote Dare to Care. You started an organization to bring doctors to eliminate that stress, but also help them connect better with their patients. Share more about your whole journey and how you came to not just being a doctor that was stressed out, but going deeper than just the medicine, the body.
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate in, being a pediatrician, I'm blessed to serve children. And so I realized very early in my career that they're really my true teachers. And so when I'm looking into the eyes of a baby or a young child and I see this spark and I see this curiosity that you just described, this is very hard to resist, right? And so this is what really helped me through, if you like, the standard conventional medical career and has helped me to kind of stay alive and keep that curiosity and that beginner's mind up and running. And
You know, that's so true. And it's sad. It's like we take it out of children. You are naturally, every single person born, not only to care, dare to care, but to be curious. It is a natural, innate thing in all humans. I find every single child, you know, when they're 4 years old, "Mom, why is the sky blue? Why is this? How is this?" You're like, "Stop asking questions." But they're asking questions because everything fascinates them.
Yeah. Such an open... The open-mindedness is so beautiful, and the open-heartedness too, right?
Yeah.
Is the willingness and the intention to receive fully with every single cell to really absorb. And
Yeah, it's true. So share how Dare to Care came to be and how exactly are you using your organization to help doctors and then ultimately patients?
Well, Dare to Care came about because I worked as a pediatrician in conventional medicine and went through the kind of classic career. And at some point, I was really, really close to burnout. So it got me to reflect in what is it that I really need and what I really want and what was my initial motivation and what is it I really care for and what I what is the gift that I have to give here on this planet as long as I'm alive. And so this is what got me to consider what is really important in medicine. What were these highlights, the stellar moments in 20 years of care? And I wanted to share this. And then I realized that my goddaughter was a young resident. And so I felt, wow, this is a beautiful opportunity. I could actually write letters to her and tell her basically what I didn't learn in medical school. So all the things that they don't tell you, you know? That I wish I had known when I started out.
And it's so true. I've had a couple doctors on who said to me, they got started, and everyone who I think becomes a doctor comes out with the idea that I want to heal people. That's my thing. It's my calling. I want to, you know, heal mind, body, and spirit. Because I think most people realize that you aren't just the body. A patient walks in presenting with certain symptoms, but it's beyond the symptoms you're seeing in front of you. It goes deeper than that. But with the industry, it's so hard to focus on the healing part because you've got the insurance companies, you got the hospital administration. So it kind of gets lost. Then you realize, like my doctor, he was a wonderful practitioner, said to me, I'm ready to give up being a doctor because I feel like all I do is fill out paperwork. So share with me some of the lessons you shared with your niece that helped you think that you didn't learn in medical school that helped you get better connected to being a healer.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the constraints are very dominant. And I guess that's true in many professions that we're kind of finding ourselves in a matrix and possibly we've deviated from our initial motivation. And what I learned is that being connected to myself and reminding myself of my initial motivation and really looking for what is my deep purpose, what really gives meaning to my life. And what that requires, this is what I learned with a coach who co-authored this book, it's kind of a catch-22. What this requires is deceleration. So we need to kind of slow down in order to look and feel and see where am I and what is my gift and to really reflect, not in a state of running and sympathetic overdrive, kind of flight and fight mode and, oh, what is that I want in my life? You need to actually accelerate and take that time. And it's just so worth doing this. And so this is where some of the insights then came from, where I realized what were these stellar moments. And for me now, I say pick one really precious thing, something that I do every day religiously now, is to really take time in the morning with the practice to set the tone for the day. That is so precious, like a little moment during the day, just a few minutes sometimes, you know, just to sit down and drop in and then from this place start into the day. So different.
Yeah, you know, it's so true. People do it in different ways. I'm now working with a mentor where we're doing that in the morning. What's your intention for the day? And, you know, it really, really sets you up with your mindset. Okay, here's where I'm going. I have a vocal point. Some people start with prayer, which is a great way to start. You know, like, yes. God, show me where you want me to be useful today. How do you want me to approach the world? And what I wonder, and this is something maybe you can speak to, Dr. Yan, is that during this whole time of the pandemic around the world, lockdown, a lot of people said they have gotten a new perspective on their life because they've had to decelerate, as you say. Right. It wasn't done on purpose. Yeah, they didn't plan to be on lockdown, but it has caused a lot of people to really begin to know themselves better and then hence be able to serve the world better.
Yes, those who were privileged to slow down and to really have a look, it was very precious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some, it meant existential crises and concerns. Mm-hmm. But even then, we get to reflect on what is it that is really important to us and where is it that we really want to be? So sometimes it does take a strong blow. It does take a hard stop for us somehow to reconsider.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I think, and for myself included, you talked about the matrix. I call it the hamster wheel. You're like, blah, 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 right. and you're just going, 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 going. And you, after a while, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I here? And it is so important to have that break sometimes to reflect. Because at the end of your life, you'll be like, what did I do on this planet? You really want to have not just leave a legacy, but that you have had some sense of purpose, that you were able to leave something behind that's greater and made the world better.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. This is where a second practice comes in for me that is really helpful. That is at the end of the day. That is about practicing humbleness. That's a really useful thing for doctors. is to actually step out of this, I know, and I'm providing the solutions kind of mode, and really go into, where did I screw up today? You know, what did I miss? Where did I really not live up to my full potential? You know, where did I, what do I regret? And really accept that lovingly and integrate that. And if we're allowing ourselves to do this, wow, that's 365 learnings a day. Fantastic. A year, sorry. So that's fantastic.
You can make it a day. You might not get much done if you do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so true because I think all of us can fall into that trap of, oh, I know. Because once you become good at something, you kind of shut down the doors of learning because you're like, oh, I know everything there is to know. But that is never the case. I find, and you had mentioned earlier, how much you've learned from your younger patients' children. Yeah. Children, by their very nature of being curious, will open your mind to angles or ways of looking at life that you've forgotten and pull you back in, but like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, or I haven't thought about that. And when you talk about humility, I think for us to do that as a practice, remember, like, what can I learn today? There was a great lesson or exercise someone gave me a long time ago, and it was like, look at every mistake you've done and let's turn it around. What did you learn from that mistake? So let's say today you did a big accounting error in my case. What did you learn from that? So every day, take it something that you maybe thought, okay, I didn't do so well at this. Boom, what did you learn from it? Or what can you do to shift it so that it's a learning curve, not just something that I made a mistake with.
Yeah, and it can be an act of self-care. If it's not of like, ooh, you need to learn from your mistakes, you know.
But if it's yourself, actually like,
if it's actually an opportunity to learn and to be kind with myself, it's like, yeah, of course I make mistakes, and here are ways to try better the next time. So, but it's an opportunity for being forgiving with ourselves, and that's really relaxing.
Yeah, I like that you say forgiving. I think that plays a big part. And tell me if you agree, Dr. Han, with dealing with patients, forgiveness, I think, is what causes a lot of our issues in life, from actually ending up getting some diseases because we had this constant unforgiving for ourselves and life and people. Tell me your perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Leonard Laskow wrote he's one of my, if you like, role models.
Yeah.
He wrote a beautiful book called Forgiving Love. So forgiving love.
It's awesome.
So the deep source of forgiveness is love. And There's increasing work done actually that demonstrates that when we are forgiving, it is almost more healing for those who are actually forgiving than to those that are forgiven.
Yeah.
It is that act of heart openness that mm-hmm. is healing. It yeah. is that act of compassion that is really healing. Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I'm really picking up from you that's a very important key to being able to dare to care and to give to others is really starting with, of course, giving to yourself, but opening up to yourself and realizing, you know, how can I grow? How can I expand as a human being? Because it's an ever growing process. It's not like, boom, I'm done. You know, I think one thing we get in our society in America is this idea of, oh, once I reach success, it'll be over and it'll be great. Except, do you ever want to reach the top of the mountain? You want to keep growing as a person. You don't ever want to be, oh, there's nowhere to go.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And it's the, I mean, I guess it's certainly so for physicians. And I guess it's for many professions like this, is that we're trained to become something. So our reference point is always in the future, which means that we're kind of missing the present moment. And the stellar moments in my life, at least, I don't know about yours, but in my life, the stellar moments were now and not then.
Or yesterday. Yeah.
Exactly. Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll miss today because you're focused on yesterday or tomorrow. And right. So what I love is you have a book, Dare to Care, How to Survive and Thrive in Today's Medical World. What's your number one advice? Let's say there's a pre-med student or someone who's thinking of going into medical school or who is a doctor. What's your one like sage advice to that crew of people who are wanting to survive and thrive in the medical industry?
I guess it's maybe the image of the airplane travel. At the beginning of a journey, you're told by the stewardesses that it's a good idea to put the oxygen mask on first before you help others. And that's really something that is drummed out of us as healthcare professionals. We're trained to focus on others and we're trained to be kind of a martyr of, you know, less sleep, poorer nutrition, more work, harder dedication, all of this. And it's actually draining. And this is why we have such a high rate of burnout and suicide. And I guess the most sustainable model for actually caring for others, if we really feel we want to be a professional caring for others, it means we need to learn how to care for ourselves, not in an egotistic way, but in a compassionate way. If we learn how to do this and we learn how difficult that is, then we have also compassion with our patients. And then nobody will say like, oh, this patient is not getting better because he's not compliant with my treatment. You know? But then you will actually understand how difficult it is to stay in a discipline and you will find a compassionate way together. And I wish that could become like a role model for other professions too, where we actually learn to see the perspective from the patient's perspective, the life from the patient's perspective or our customer's perspective rather than our own.
Such an important thing you just said there, Dr. Jan, because I think so many business owners in particular forget that it all starts with your customer. They're the ones who you were started out business for. And the same with being a doctor. You started because you wanted to help the patients. And they might not have the expertise you have, but they're inside their body. So if you work together as a team, they'll be more likely to be like, okay, we're in this together. Let's get this solved. Let's get me healthy. I think when you come at that perspective, they'll be like, oh yeah, you're in my court. You're here to help me. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's get this taken care of. Well, where can people get a copy of Dare to Care and find out more about you?
Thank you. It's available on Amazon.
Yeah, so, right behind you. I see it right there, Dare to Care.
Yep, Dare to Care. That's right. So it's available on Amazon. It's self-published. So, and it's anyone is interested in learning more about heart-based medicine, then there's a webpage called heartbasedmedicine.org, all in one word. And this is where we try to share, if you like, for healthcare professionals, it's about more skills and less pills.
I love that. I love that.
and ways to actually take care of ourselves. And I wish that this is the first step. I wish that if we can really show that this works, I wish that the second step is that this would actually empower patients to request this kind of behavior from healthcare professionals, mm-hmm. that the story that I have experienced once, I hope will never, ever occur again in the future, where a little child, beautiful, like an angelic little girl, mm-hmm. kind of four-year-old girl, super sweet, she was just getting better. And then I walked into the room on rounding patients and she whispered to her mother and said, "He looks really tired." I was like, wow, that really struck me, because I felt, my God, my role is to invite this young life into a more healthy disposition. Mm-hmm. And what she's noticing is that she's actually more healthy than I am. She's actually saying, oh, this guy looks really tired. You know, like, is he really trustworthy kind of thing? And does he need help?
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned something very important. I love heart-based medicine, or the idea of bringing heart to medicine, because I've had way too many experiences myself where I walk into a doctor's office, they have us fill out these forms, and do you have any allergies? Are you taking medicine? And then the doctor nurse comes in, they look at your file, and they're like, la-di-da-di-da, asking you some questions, never looking you in the eye. I'm like, hello, patient right here. You could ask me. And I feel that disconnectedness sometimes. And I think it's sometimes because the doctor needs to save himself from so many patients, so overwhelmed. But it just feels like you're in a system. And I think it would be best for everyone if we could break down the system, bring in the heart, and realize we could all hear a lot quicker. And I like that you also mentioned that patients also begin to realize how much power they can have to heal themselves, to take different actions to make their bodies and their mind and spirit healthier.
Yeah, what a different kind of medicine if we came down from our arrogant positions and mm-hmm. we were actually willing to listen to the patient truly. Mm-hmm. The way that I've been trained, and I guess most healthcare professionals are trained in talking to patients, is a highly strategic communication. It's a little bit like negotiation in business, you know? It's mm-hmm. different content, but it's highly strategic. I have an idea of how to figure out your differential diagnosis and what your problem might be. And so I'm trying to actually get you to answer my questions so I can meet my need to get the diagnosis right? And that I justify by saying that this is a good thing for you. But there would be like a really different kind of possibility, which is to ask you, what is it that you're actually looking for? What is it that you actually need? What is it that is important to you? And I'm learning from you rather than telling you what you need. And this has shown time over again, this has shown to be really helpful and has saved so much time.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, I think if both doctors and patients came at it from humility to realize patients sometimes will come in like, doctor, fix it all, make it all better, give me a pill. They also will. I've heard that from doctors, like, well, they just want me to give them the magic pill and there is no magic pill. So I think there's a bit of humility on both sides to realize, okay, I'm going to have to do some effort on my side, maybe begin to have the idea that maybe I could make some small changes that lead to bigger changes that could affect my health in the better. Yeah.
Wow, what a culture change. Thank you mm-hmm. for saying this so clearly. Yeah. What a culture change if both patients and physicians were actually taking responsibility for their own health and mm-hmm. then meet in the humbleness of learning about this.
Exactly.
What a different kind of therapeutic alliance would emerge from this.
It'd be boom, heartbasedmedicine.org. Well, I have to thank you again, Dr. Jan, for coming to Savvy Broadcasting. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Like, subscribe, and share this episode. To listen to more Savvy episodes and Savvy Biz Tips, go to www.lifeunscriptedradio.com. To find out about our paid sponsorship opportunities or how to become a guest, email Christina at lifeunscriptedradio.com.
Bittrex is a cryptocurrency exchange empowering traders to feed their curiosity. With more than 100 tokens and unparalleled security, Bittrex offers a platform for next big thing discoverers to dive in. Get ready to trade beyond the trend. Discover more at bittrex.com. Trading involves significant risk of loss and is not suitable for all individuals. Carefully consider your level of experience and risk before trading.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.